Colin live at ACC Media Day and Evan Cohen coming up at 2:20.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Mike Rizzo filling in for Theo Dorsey. Colin Russo on assignment, on remote at ACC Media Day. We got Kate Chumsland behind the glass hitting the ones and twos here at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach with myself. We'll have Tina on at 3 o'clock. And at 2:20, the Don of ESPN West Palm, Evan Cohen, will be joining us. Folks, we are action-packed today on Theoretically Speaking. We're keeping an eye on the Argentina-England game that is beginning at 3 o'clock. Thank God that game is at 3 o'clock and we all get to miss
spot with that, Mike.
Thank God that game is at 3 o'clock and we all get to miss the game. And obviously Colin alluding, he's at ACC Media Day. But more importantly, I want to check in on my partner because he's talked to a couple of guys today. Once again, Colin at ACC Media Day. Colin, who have you checked in with? Are you starting to get the way of the land down there for ACC Media Day, partner?
Yeah, it's been good so far. I got nothing to complain about. I'm at a radio row here at the Hilton Uptown right in downtown Charlotte. Very impressed with downtown Charlotte. You know what I like? They got all the sports in one spot. Bank of America, I believe it's called. The football stadium is right downtown. Spectrum Center, where the Hornets play, is right downtown. They actually have a great AAA ballpark, Truist Field, which is sort of a below-ground park. So if you're at street level, you're almost above the field. So that's interesting as well. That's right in the thick of downtown. I'm very impressed with Charlotte. I think Charlotte's it's beautiful weather. It's about 89 degrees, but it's not that humid. I think Charlotte is great. I'm very impressed with that. In terms of who I've talked to today, I've in and out with the coaches. They've done a lot of their press conferences and stuff like that. We'll be talking to Mario Cristobal and Mark Fletcher of the University of Miami Hurricanes at 4 o'clock. I'll be talking to Mike Norvell, recorded at 3:20, 3:30, and 3:40 throughout the FSU, some stuff. We talked to Darian Mensah, the new quarterback for Miami. Sharp kid immediately. This is somebody who definitely is locked in between the years, as they say. He's in tune for a big year. I'm impressed with him. And he's played for three good coaches. He's played for Manny Diaz, John Summerall, and now Mario Cristobal. So we talked to him. I talked to C.J. Bailey, who went to Chaminade Madonna. And he was Jeremiah Smith's quarterback in high school, Mike.
Mm.
And so he is at NC State in his third year. And he played as a true freshman. He came in the third game after Grayson McCall, who was the Coastal Carolina kid, got hurt. And he played his entire true freshman year and had a great year last year. He'll probably be a first-rounder. He's a big guy, 6'6". So he's definitely a pro-level build. And he was a funny dude. The funny thing he told me, because I asked him, you know, when you're thrown in there, it's like Mahomes when he was playing his rookie year. Like, you don't know what you're doing. And he goes, I had no idea what I was doing. He goes, I didn't set a protection until my sophomore year. He goes, I had a veteran center who did everything in front of me. I was just an athlete. And I thought that was interesting because that's classic, you know, true freshman quarterback. He goes, I had no idea what the hell was going on. But he was a sharp kid, a funny guy to talk to. And he went to Chaminade Madonna. So he was a big time player as well.
Now, that's the best part about this, getting the behind-the-scenes stuff, talking to the players and hearing what's actually happening on the field. But, Colin, you've been there. You've talked to some people. Is the feel Miami and everybody else right now, at least in your eyes? I know, Kyle, the ACC. Listen, there are a lot of decent teams. But I think the one great team that we could come out here and say in the preseason is Miami. Are you getting that feel in Charlotte?
Yeah, I'm definitely getting that feel. The media, especially, is highly in favor of Miami. They know Miami's going to be great. They know there's a lot of expectations surrounding Miami. The big thing that came out today that the Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, announced was they're going to change up the tiebreakers. And if you remember, there's a 5-way tie for the second place in the ACC last year for a chance to go to the ACC championship game. Miami, who was 6-2 as well, it was about who you played in conference and their win percentage cumulative. And Duke was the one who was able to get away with that. And Duke was the one who moved on and ended up winning the game. Miami kind of gets screwed. What they announced this year, Mike, they got their new tiebreak system. Unless head-to-head triumphs it, it's going to be best, quote, body of work will determine who moves on. And that's a committee, essentially, is what you're telling me.
Certainly there's no bias attached to that, Colin. You know, certainly there's not going to be some bias attached to that.
So I'm going to ask Cristobal about that momentarily. I'm excited to hear his thoughts on that. But best body of work is fascinating because they're going to use a sports analytics website or something like that to determine these bodies of work, and that's going to be what they do to get figure out. It's going to be whoever makes.
They're
going to
use
money.
The BCS model, Colin. They're going to use the BCS model. You know what we used, you know, which seems like years ago, a decade ago, to get you know teams into bowl games and national championships. But once again, folks, Mike Rizzo here on site, ESPN West Palm at the beautiful City Place Studios downtown West Palm Beach. My brother Colin Russo is on site in Charlotte at ACC Media Day. Coming up at 2:20, we're going to be talking to Evan Cohen. Now, Colin, something you brought up. You spoke to Darian Mensah. You mentioned he played for Manny Diaz with Duke. Let's not forget, the only reason that Miami was able to be in the college football playoff is because Duke and Mensah got a result against Virginia. And I sit here and I'm with you with the new like rules and who's going to be in the title game because – correct me if I'm wrong, and you're going to get more information on the rules and who makes what and who makes a conference championship, but Miami probably would have been in that game under the new structure. I personally, Kyle, think this is the ACC making sure they could avoid a disaster of, you know, what was it, a 4-5 loss Duke team making the ACC championship game? I mean, you know, I sit here and I joke around with you saying, oh, they're going to use the BCS model. There's going to be bias attached to it. Colin, as long as it gets the best teams in the conference in that game, I'm okay with it.
Weirdly enough, I actually asked Darian Mensah about this. I said, going into that game, that Duke-Virginia game, which was a great overtime game, which Mensah had the go-ahead touchdown, the first or second overtime, I said, did you know, were you under the impression that Duke was going to get a bid if you won that game? And he goes, absolutely. He goes, every part of us thought we were going to get in. He goes, we thought we had a great team. You're winning a Power 4 conference championship. We're not really paying attention to what sort of the projections are saying. And then I also said, I'm like, is there part of you that thinks about the fact that you knocking Virginia out in a lot of ways because the committee needed a ACC team in there, Virginia getting out in a lot of ways allowed the committee to swallow the pill and have Miami leapfrog Notre Dame. Now, they might have done it anyway, but there is a chance that Notre Dame does not get leapfrogged if Virginia's already in that college football playoff because they wanted ACC representation.
Yep.
And I asked him that, too, and he goes, there's probably some truth to that. He goes, you know, there's probably – he goes, you know, we probably helped Miami get into the postseason on that, but, you know, at the end of the day, he goes, we weren't that – he goes, I was pissed, and there's nothing you could do.
Yeah,
we move on.
We should – you know, we should ask Mario if that was Mensah's tryout. You know, for the Hurricanes.
Right. And I did ask him about the peculiar timing of his eventual announcement.
Is that right? Is that right?
Into the transfer portal, and let's just say he did not have a lot to say about that. All right? So.
Colin, it's been to that point, these quarterbacks and everything that has gone on in the portal, let's keep in mind, you know, who is it in Washington, brother? Damond Williams, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
He's there. He don't want to be there. You know, they kept a quarterback around who wanted to leave, who was supposed to, I believe, go to Miami, go to some other suitors. So this is the 2026 of college football that we're in. And I think it's very peculiar timing, you know, with the Mensah stuff and whatever. But Colin in Charlotte, you know, the field there, Miami, and then everybody else. Listen, I got to say, we're home of the Hurricanes. I do root for Miami because of that. Now, when you know, they're up against, you know.
No one's thinking about Ohio State. No one cares.
Still licking my wounds over that loss. But it really, to me, folks, if Miami does not win the ACC this year, I question when it's going to happen. Defensively, they're bringing back a lot. Offensively, they're bringing back a lot. A lot of people, Colin, could argue they got one of the, if not one of the best quarterbacks in the portal. I know people would argue Sam Leavitt. I know Sorsby's not playing football, but a lot of people were saying he was the best player available. But they're getting a top quarterback in the portal, and one would think that he is going to be better than Carson Beck. And there's the report out there today on ESPN.com that, you know, Darian Mensah wanted to be the successor of Cam Ward. He came out and said that, you know, the Beck factored into the transfer. Ward, Beck, and everybody that played for quarterback for Miami over the last 2 years was a big factor in Mensah coming on over. But, Colin, I stand by what I said to you a week ago and what I'm telling you now. If Miami doesn't win the ACC this year, I don't know when it's going to happen, and I think Coach Cristobal understands that.
Yep, they got a good schedule for it. They play Notre Dame in the middle of November, I believe. But outside of that, their ACC schedule is fairly favorable. They're going to have a ton of stars. They got the top receiver from Duke as well, and Cooper DeCart.
Just gutting that Duke, roster.
He got there 2 weeks ago now. But I will say that they are with Mark Fletcher. Ahmed Toure, by the way, he's their second-year linebacker since he's been at Miami. He played a full four-year career at Rutgers. You know, that guy graduated high school in 2019. Talk about experience. And we're going to talk to him at 440. I'm like, dude, do you remember high school?
Is he older than you? Colin, is he older than you?
Yes. Yeah, he graduated.
Older than you.
Yeah, he graduated a year before me. And I know he's had injury issues. That's part of the reason why. But, they got experience. They got guys. They had two of the top three ACC transfers coming in as an edge from Missouri and then also from Darian Mensah. That team's the team to beat. And in terms of everybody else, I just talked to Dave Doran, who is the head coach of NC State, who's been there for 14 years, by the way. And I asked him about, the state of the ACC. And he goes, I'm in favor of the 24 team. Actually, Cristobal said earlier today he's kind of not in favor of the 24 team because it doesn't favor Mario and it does favor Dave Doran.
Yep.
And Dave Doran wants to make the playoff and Mario feels like he doesn't necessarily need the 24 to make the playoff. No wonder. If you're in the club, you don't want to expand the club. But if you're outside the club, you want the club to get bigger. It's the classic telltale sign of,
yes,
we want to be involved. And you get that feeling with a lot of these ACC teams.
It's odd to me, Colin, that Mario would take that stance to me because he very damn well could have been the last team on the outside looking in.
And they missed it in 2024, too.
Right. And in my opinion, thank God Miami got in because, number one, I think that's the right move. You got to respect the play on the field. The two teams played head-to-head and the one team won. You put in the team that won, that was the right move. But, the committee could have easily put Notre Dame in there. So I am a little shocked in that sense. We've talked expansion of Colin, on every sport. We talked yesterday about the expansion of the World Cup, maybe to 60-plus teams. We've talked about the NCAA tournament for the basketball side, which is expanding. I don't think it needs to happen. I think you dilute it. Colin, I don't need to see, who is the 24 team? I don't need to see Oklahoma State. I know they were horrific, but let's just say Oklahoma State's the 25th team in the country. I don't need them watch them lose by 100 points to an Alabama, to an Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? I just think it dilutes it. I think it helps the coaches in a sense that you could go back to these athletic directors and go, hey, we made the college football playoff. I think it gives the coaches a little bit of protection. That's why I think a lot of coaches are behind this. And then obviously the Ohio States, the Miamis of the world would say no. But it did come to a shock to me that Mario would say no to that. But
I'll ask him about it. But I did hear that he was on WQAM right next to us. I was listening to the interview.
Yeah.
And he basically said, he goes, listen, I see both sides. Phillips, the commissioner of the the ACC, he did say that unanimously all the coaches and ADs are on the same page. So I don't get that impression that is the case. But everybody who is top 25 worthy is in favor of a 24-team top college football playoff.
Now, Kyle, is Dabo there? Do we have Dabo?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow. So they get these guys in and out. I got the Miami guys, and I think they're going right to the airport at 4 o'clock. So they're going to be out of here at 5. So they go to about 3-4 teams a day. I saw today was Stanford, NC State, Miami, FSU, maybe one more. That might have been it. And outside of that, everybody else kind of goes, 4 or 5 teams a day.
All right, so Dabo tomorrow. We got the Hurricanes.
Well, I don't know if Dabo's jumping on. We got Fran Brown jumping on.
Which
should be interesting. We'll talk to Rhett Lashley, who is also very outspoken about the state of the ACC, the head coach at SMU. No Dabo yet. TBD, no Franklin yet. I don't know what's going to happen with him.
So at Georgia Tech, you talked to Brent Key,
who's a football guy, friend of show, Brent Key. Big fan of Georgia Tech and the Yellow Jackets there. I would love to talk to Brent Key. He is not on the schedule currently. I'm going to see what I can do when he gets there tomorrow.
And then, hang on. I'm trying to count him a phony for this.
What are you thinking of? Jeff Rom joining the program.
Our special teams coordinator. Remember the Groza Award for Georgia Tech?
Yeah, Georgia Tech special teams coordinator.
The hell is his name? Oh, man.
In front of you. Look it up.
Tim Salem? Tim Salem?
Yes,
Coach
Salem? Coach Salem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. Sorry.
Good friend of show.
Listen, blame.
He's friend of show.
Blame Craig Carmen since ChatGPT that took, you know, forever to load that up. But yeah, dude, he gave us the pins. I mean, God, we did the whole thing
with
him.
Friend of show. Absolutely. No doubt.
You got to make sure you track down Coach Salem at ACC Media Day. But Colin, talking to all the big wigs, all the big fish with the ACC. Coming up, we're going to be bringing on in Evan Cohen. 2:20, Evan is scheduled with us. Colin, probably won't be talking to you until the 4 o'clock hour when you do talk to head coach Mario Cristobal. So we'll hear you.
Cristobal's at 4. Cristobal's at 4.
Well, but what I'm saying is we'll probably go along with Evan, and we probably won't talk to you until you go live with Cristobal. So I wanted to ask, where are you at leaning for the World Cup, brother? We got the 3 o'clock start. You're not going to be able to watch a lot of it, if any. We got England.
I'm going to figure that out.
We got England and we got Argentina. Are you and Mario going to be breaking down Lionel Messi's career coming up at 4 o'clock?
I might have it up. Coach Cristobal, sorry. I'm going to be watching the game as I do this interview. I'm so sorry. Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those – it's a famous historic rivalry. You know, we talked to Callum Williams, who is a play-by-play man on the MLS and Apple TV, when I filled in for Mike on Extra Time on Monday. And he's an English fan. And he's from Birmingham himself, and he said the one thing about it, he goes, you like the way England matches up with them, but the thing is, Argentina's got that underlying magic that makes you nervous, and that all lies in Lionel Messi. So in terms of the game, I actually think Argentina is going to do it. I think Argentina is going to show some additional magic. I think we're due for that. You know, Lamine Yamal, the picture of him and as a baby with Lionel Messi. I think you're going to see something like, I think there's just going to be a story there. And I can't wait to see England get eliminated. I'm looking forward to seeing them get on that flight home.
He's against the Redcoats.
They'll be in Miami, so Mike can go see them. His favorite
Correct.
Team
third place team. Yes,
they can go see them play in the third place game at Hard Rock Stadium on Saturday.
Now, Kyle, quickly, did you listen to the Rich?
Where's Theo? Is he on father duty?
Theo's on father duty. Quickly, I need to joke around with you about this. I'm be talking a lot of LeBron James with Evan Cohen. Did you listen to the Rich Paul podcast today? Are you up to date?
Who came on today?
Are you up to date on where LeBron is possibly going? Okay,
Everybody here at ACC Media Day has been talking about the Rich Paul podcast.
Yes.
What general manager jumped on to sell his team.
The best is my father, who does this in Cleveland. He's talking to Rich, allegedly, according to my dad. You know, I'm like, Dad, you don't know anything just like everybody else. But I am going to get Evan's opinion on this. Colin, good luck with all the interviews, brother. Can't wait to hear you coming up at 4 o'clock with Cristobal, and I'll talk to you in a little bit, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, this is Theoretically Speaking. Mike Rizzo filling in for Theo. Kate Chumsman behind the glass. Evan Cohen coming up next on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Mike Rizzo filling in for Theo Dorsey, 888-760-3776. That is the Baptist Health Hotline. Currently, right now, I'm bringing Evan Cohen, the Don of ESPN West Palm, in on the video Baptist Health Hotline. Evan, you can hear 6 a.m. to 10 on Unsportsmanlike with himself, Michelle Smallman, and Chris Canty. Ev, I was going to do this whole shtick with you today where I got my binoculars out, but Egghead over here forgot his binoculars at home. Partner, I'm LeBron watching down here in South Florida. I'm doing my part trying to get LeBron James to the Miami Heat. Where are you at, Ev? Or first off, how are you? But where are you at with LeBron? This decision, are you tuned in to the Rich Paul podcast still? I got my notifications on. Where are you at with him possibly joining the Miami Heat?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all in on paying attention to it every second, Mike. I mean, honestly, like, that's where it's gotten to a place of I'm a phony. I'm a complete and utter phony, because when he left, I destroyed him. And one of the worst moments for me was when he won a championship in 2016 without the Heat, because I went on this big rant right here on ESPN West Palm, destroying him, saying the Heat will win before he will, and they'll be better than he. Like, I humbled him. And you know what's really interesting about this? I think the Jimmy Butler saga changed many people's viewpoints, mine included, about the LeBron exit, Mike.
Yep.
Where now a potential re-entrance I'm more okay with, and let me explain. LeBron, did I like that he left the first time? No. Did I like how he did it? You know, he goes back to Cleveland for the Zydrunas Ilgauskas retirement. Heat probably should have put a stop to that because that was a little bit of flirting while you're married. You know, he does the whole thing, ironically, right around the World Cup plays a big factor in this. I don't know if you know this, Mike. The World Cup is an enormous part of this. So during the pitch meeting that LeBron had, Rich Paul and company, with Pat Riley to stay, okay? So after they went to the four finals, two championships, get destroyed by the Spurs in that fourth year, Riley goes to Vegas, obviously, Summer League going on. All the NBA players are there working out, watching their potential new teammates in the Summer League. They go to this suite. This is according to all the reporting. They go to this suite at a hotel, and Riley's talking to LeBron, trying to say, hey, here's why you need to stay. Here's what we can do with the roster. And supposedly, LeBron was barely paying attention to him. Why? He's sitting there watching the World Cup, not paying attention to Riley.
Wow.
And supposedly, that really bothered Riley because it's like, wait a minute. We just spent 4 years together. You can't give me the time of day. LeBron was a free agent. He left to go back to Cleveland. Let me reiterate that last part, Mike.
Yep.
He was a free agent. We didn't like it, as you know, but he was allowed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't blow up the team. They went to the NBA Finals. Jimmy, two finals, played his butt off. No one's arguing that. Was not a free agent. Said, all right, they don't want to give me a contract. I'll just make them give me a contract in a year when I play my butt off. Well, couldn't last a week without trying to blow the whole team up. And as you know, did it for basically the better part of the last two or so years. So I kind of look back and say, what the hell was I so mad at? Because he left when he was allowed to. So to the end, long-winded, but I thought it was important backstory. I'm acknowledging I'm a phony baloney. I'm a fraud. Crushed LeBron on the way out, and now I want him back.
Ev, you know, we're all fans. We all do stuff that maybe we're not so proud of being a fan and being so emotionally invested into it. Let's take that out of it for a second. I could argue both the Cavaliers and the Heat need LeBron. But I think the Heat need LeBron more just because of what is on the table right now. Like the last time you joined, partner, I believe I joked around with you about Bobby Portis like being the only available player off the bench. The Heat need more bona fide NBA players. LeBron, even on the back nine of his career, Ev, what, top 10? Still top 10 in the NBA? Possibly top 8? I mean, single-handedly was able to beat the Houston Rockets in the first round of the Western Conference Finals. But my long-winded point is, I think the Heat need LeBron more than anybody that's in these sweepstakes right now.
Mm.
Like,
I don't know if I agree
on the
with
court,
that.
Partner, on the court. On the court.
I understand. But the reality is, I look at this a little differently. I say they're the one team that if they get them, you could envision it really happen. I can't envision it happening with the Cavs. And the reason why, not to go too deep on the Cavs, they don't have the grimy. The Knicks became grimy. They were not backing down to anyone, right? We see that in the NFL. How often do we rag on the Packers? They folded when Ben Johnson was talking junk to him. They got, you know what I mean? Like, you need a little bit of grimy. And I think the Heat have so much of that, that if LeBron can join that, Cavs don't have that. The Warriors have it because of Draymond. Although Draymond, boy, oh boy. Boy, you talked. I love Draymond. Not this week.
Yeah, Ev, we'll go there next. Finish your point.
Listen, Mike, how about this? Let's settle this way. Who needs LeBron the most?
Yeah.
Let's settle it this way.
Yep.
Six teams are in on him. Six different talk show hosts, six different fans could sit here with six different answers and they'd all be right, which is the ultimate compliment to LeBron at 41 years old.
They all
need him. That's why they're all in on him. That's the reality.
Correct. And to that point, I think that's why a lot of, you know, executives, including Bob Myers, you know, going on Rich Paul's podcast and basically telling him why he needs to come to the 76ers. I figured it was a fair question because there are rumors out there. LeBron is possibly tinkering with rosters. I don't know how much stock you're putting into that, but listen, partner.
I saw the guy I reported. Yeah. I don't know about that guy. Yeah, spotty, spotty, that guy.
Listen, I will say.
I love him. not one of my guys.
I will say, Ev, it comes from a good source, but I just think they're stringing everyone along. That's what I told the source, Ev. They're stringing everyone along right now. And they're getting.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
So. Let's say, so this was an ESPN Cleveland report that, which I 1,000% believe because of the sourcing of the reporting, the reporter, is that LeBron's kind of paying attention to roster composition and maybe some roster tinkering. So let's talk, Mike, you and I for a second about the team that the ESPN West Palm audience cares the most about here.
Correct.
The Heat do not feel like a team as constituted that LeBron is going to necessarily tinker with the roster. It's more of, oh, person X, LeBron's here now. Sure, I'll play for the minimum for a year. Oh, person Y just got bought out. LeBron, Giannis, Bam, South Florida. All right, I'll take the – I think with the Heat, it's more of the guy that will now come there for less – because it's the Heat, everyone loves playing for the Heat. We know that because they all get better. They all work their butt off, best condition of their life playing for the Heat.
Correct.
And you know what the sneaky other part about it is? You go join the Heat. If you're like a LeBron or let's say DeRozan or if Zach LaVine were ever to get bought out, it's not that you don't have to play defense, but they kind of got other guys for them. No star really at LeBron's age is dying to play defense. You got Giannis who could win Defensive Player of the Year. You have Bam who could win Defensive Player of the Year. Davion Mitchell's not going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but capability-wise could win Defensive Player of the Year. And the guy that I think Spo is going to rely on the most defensively is Wiggins. And they got four guys, Mike, who are going to say, no, I got the best player. No, I got the best player.
Yep.
LeBron could sit back, hands behind his head, cigar playing golf on defense, and they're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and Ev, even to that point, to get into it a little bit more, he could just hit the fast break immediately. As soon as they get a turnover, as soon as they get a rebound, LeBron out on the flank and in there. And Ev, my thing with the Heat and the roster construction, with everything that I've heard from Rich Paul and what LeBron is looking for as far as the roster, aren't the Heat that? I mean, they went in and got Giannis. They have Bam Adebayo, who is a top-tier defensive player. I could sit here and tell you how phony it was, but the guy scored 80 points. He's a great player. All right. They are more. I think if LeBron goes to that roster, they are ready to win an NBA title. That's the point that I was trying to make and why I think the Heat probably make the most sense. And obviously, I'm biased being down here now. I want to be able to go an hour to the Kaseya Center and watch them two nights a week. But regardless, I am LeBron watching. I know you are. And I apologize if I didn't bring in my binoculars to try to spot the guy in the bush. Now, you mentioned Udonis Haslam. You mentioned the Draymond Green stuff. Listen, partner. The McGregor fight was an absolute joke. The Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero fight, I think, was better than that. Are we gonna have three fights in a week here? Are Udonis Haslam and Draymond Green throwing the gloves down? Are they brawling next in Las Vegas at this godforsaken summer league, partner? What can you shed some light on that situation, real quick?
Yeah, you know what? The funniest thing. So for those who are unaware, So Mike set it up. It's the weirdest, like, three-prong attack of a setup here. So because Tyler and Bam got into a dust-up, Draymond felt the need to reference what Udonis said years ago about Draymond being critical of he and Jordan Poole when they were teammates and they got into a fight. And so Draymond comes out and says, well, I hope Udonis has that same energy. Well, first of all, Bam and Tyler are not on the same team. That's number one.
Right.
Right? Number two, as everyone has noted, and I'm sure you have as well, if they really fought, Bam would have killed them. And that's not a knock on Tyler. Bam is, as Brian Windhorst said this week on the Hoop Collective, an ESPN app, Bam is listed at 255, Tyler is listed at 195, and that 60-pound differential with Bam Adebayo is exclusively muscle. Okay? Udonis compared Bam in his statement to a baby bear. I mean, what are we talking about? That was not like a fight. But I loved the statement from Udonis because I just loved what he said. It was such an amazing thing. Basically, what he said, and I'm paraphrasing, is as a leader, as someone that believes in the team that I'm on, and this is any walk of life, oh, by the way, right? This is not just basketball.
Right.
If I am a peer, if I am a teammate, and I believe that person who is coaching us, that person's best intention is to get the best out of everyone, I am not going to let anyone disrupt that. In other words, in our, let's say in our world on the ESPN West Palm side.
Yep.
If Stephanie Prince is in charge.
Our general manager. Sudden, yep, our general manager.
Our market manager, Stephanie Prince, vice president, market manager. If Colin Russo is acting like an ass and I'm the veteran, which I am age-wise, right? It's my job to kick Colin's ass before Stephanie does. Mm. That's what Udonis is saying. Right. I'm not going to let someone show up other people. And he was saying Draymond, he believed, did that. Jimmy definitively did that. We know that in Chicago and Minnesota. And that when you talk about heat culture and people make fun of it, and you probably made fun of it before you moved to South Florida. And you, the more and more you're around, you're like, OK, maybe I think it's cheesy terminology wise, but I get what they're saying. That is the heat culture, is that internally, they police themselves to a form of excellence, that they want each other to get so much better.
Now, Ev, you bring up heat culture. We talked to LeBron. How much did heat culture have to do with LeBron and the way he played after he left the Miami Heat? Winning the title in 16, winning the title for the Lakers.
Mike, there is zero question. It was a huge factor. And again, you know how I know that? Don't go based on my opinion as a Heat fan or as a member of the media or your opinion as a talk show host in South Florida. Go based on the person who knows him the most, and that's Brian Windhorst.
Mm.
And Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA reporter, Hoop Collective podcast, says all the time, and you know this, that he still hears LeBron using the Heat-isms, the Spo-isms, the Riley-isms. And I think that's a lot of the reason at this point in his life, Mike, why there's a shot he comes back. Because I think with the gray in the beard, literally and figuratively, he realizes, as odd as the exit was, really organizationally, the team that fit me the most, those guys.
Now,
Harrison, Riley, Spoelstra.
Evan Cohen joining us from Unsportsmanlike. You can listen to Ev with Michelle and Chris Canty from 6 a.m. to 10.
What is Colin doing, by the way?
Colin, oh yeah, sorry.
On screen, bouncing around. What's happening here?
Kate Chumson, our producer here behind the glass at the City Point Studios. Evan can see. Colin's at ACC Media Day. And
he's taking phone calls while we're talking. I mean, what is this?
From my understanding, I told, and listen, this might be on me. I told Kyle to take the segment off because he's going to be.
Well, He hates you.
Do you want to elaborate on that, partner?
You don't think he does?
I don't think he hates you.
He doesn't love me. Be fair.
You two have a rivalry, Ev. I don't know what's going on there. I
didn't know that.
You two kind of have some sort of rivalry. I don't know.
I mean, it's weird. It's, would you not agree? It's weird to have two hosts, only one doing an interview, and the other one is sitting there taking phone calls. Would you not agree? That could throw you off a little
partner,
bit.
My pushback is I didn't think you could see him, and I don't think you were
I'm looking at him taking phone calls, talking to other people. It's very, not asking a single question. It's a very odd interview when only one person is talking and the other one's taking phone calls.
Kate,
I don't mean 48760 ESPN. I mean on his cell phone.
All right. Colin, I'm looping in Colin. This whole mess, boys, is on me. I told Colin to do what he's got to do.
What are we talking about? What the hell's going on here?
I'm looking at you the entire interview. You don't realize you're on camera. And I'm like, well, he's not asking a single question. He hasn't participated in anything. We've had this great discussion, and he's on his cell phone bouncing around ACC kickoff there with the Orange Bowl.
What the hell is going on here? I was under the impression I'm off the hook.
He was. Cade.
Well, now I'm taking it personally because I think you hate me, and that's why you're not on this interview. Is that true?
I got gypped by Cade Chumsen. It was Cade Chumsen's idea to get me off. He's the one who set me off. He told me to sub out. Am I wrong here?
No. Intro break. You know what is the halftime? Colin has a halftime in this.
Listen, Evan, we just got the new cameras, and it's like building the bomb in 1944. And for some reason we cannot figure out how to get two Zoom people on the same interview.
All right.
You want to hear something really bad? See, you didn't do anything wrong.
He didn't.
No, I'm saying like if anyone important was watching.
We just figured it out. I just heard we couldn't do this. I heard we couldn't do this. Now we figured it out. How am I on the Zoom now?
I'm so lost. Ev, go ahead.
Wait, you gotta hear this. So this morning, it's one of the most important days of the year on ESPN Radio because we raise money for the V Foundation Cancer Research, okay? So Canty was off, Courtney Cronin was in today, all right? Courtney Cronin is doing the show from Chicago. So Michelle Smallman and I are in the Bristol studios at ESPN. Show ends. We go over to the producer's studio across the way. We're having this post-show conversation meeting. I look up and I'm like, what is that? And they're all looking, wait a minute. Somehow, I have no idea how. Show ends and I'm watching Courtney get a haircut. And I'm sitting there saying, and this was 10:20, so 20 minutes after the show. At 9:58, show's over, she's out of there. Hey, I got to go. Clearly had a hair appointment, somehow brought her laptop, cameras on. ESPN is airing a live feed of Courtney Cronin's haircut throughout the, not on television, but throughout the internal system because she forgot to turn the camera off. And it's what I'm literally looking. It's like first take and then Courtney getting a haircut.
Ev, why is her laptop up at the hair salon?
That's my first question. Why does she have the laptop at the hair salon?
Is she watching herself get her haircut?
She's always working. That felt like me. Like, can you?
She's getting a hair appointment at 10:20. You can't be Mrs. I work all the time, but book a hair salon appointment, which takes four hours at 10:20.
Courtney's great. All right, great at her job, but at the same time, I'm with Colin on this. Poor clock management.
She doesn't stop. She's on. But she's got a hair appointment. She's got to pick up the dogs at 2:00. She's got to do. You know, she's shopping at 12.
By the way, she's coming to my house on Friday night, so she's got to get on a plane to get to. She's coming over Friday night, and so she's got to get. Maybe the hair appointment was for this.
It was
very odd. I was like almost uncomfortable about like. So I'm like, somebody's got to call her because I don't know what's going to happen next.
How about
I don't want to know,
guys. What I think,
just take her off. Just take her off. I understand.
Colin, that's an in-house feed. You know, seriously, this is the crazy thing. So when we're done with our show. Like, there's an in-house feed till 11 a.m. or something like this where it, like, can air in a bunch of different places. So, like, we'll be sitting there having post-show meetings, and it could air at the ESPN gym in Bristol because it's some satellite feed or something like that. I don't know. It's like – but you know what? Less distracting – then Mike and I having a good conversation and Colin calling his mom in the middle of it.
To be fair.
I understand. I was told, you know, it's like figuring out Enigma and finding out how the Germans are communicating in World War II, then getting me and Evan on the same stream at the same time. So I was like, wipe my hands. Go ahead.
We seem to be on totally fine right now.
I don't understand, Evan. I don't know what to tell you.
As you know, at Good Karma Brands, we like building on teammates' strengths. Mike Rizzo's strength isn't behind the digital board figuring out what the hell's going on with cameras. I was told Colin was off for this segment. So I told my partner, go do what you got to do before you talk to, you know, Mike Norvell before he gets fired in 6 months. And Mario Cristobal is well on his way.
Wait a second. Wait, let's talk about this. I've been fascinated by this ACC media, ACC kickoff here with Colin. This is a big spot. A lot of people have not thought he was going to do well with this.
Could have wore a suit. Ev, I will say, could have wore a suit, Colin.
I only packed a backpack because I had to bring my own Comrex.
Could have wore a suit,
so
but it's
I'm
okay.
I'm not doing multiple
Sorry.
Carry-ons because I had to bring the Comrex, which is in a suitcase. So I only was able to pack a backpack. So I'm actually doubling up on this outfit. It's going to be Friday's outfit as well.
Oh, my God. Could have wore a suit.
Come on,
Evan, that's my pushback with Kyle. Could have wore a suit.
Could have wore a suit. Outfit on Wednesday and Friday?
Well, you guys
events?
Are the only ones who are going to notice this. What do you think? SMU is not here yet.
Now everyone in South Florida is going to
notice. You know what? That's Rhett Lashley called me. Colin wearing the same thing won't come on. Colin, I hope you know Rhett Lashley was an assistant coach at Miami. Ask him about that, please.
Yeah, he was Tyler Van Dyke's offensive coordinator, of course. And he's very outspoken about ACC.
I was at for Wisconsin. I was there for that.
What a great transfer that was, amongst others.
Colin,
Tyler Van Dyke, after his freshman year at Miami, I thought he was going to be.
You know who I just – Evan, you're like this. You know who I just had on? He was talking about the 2010 Wisconsin-Ohio State game was Dave Duren of NC State. And he was – Brett Bielema
Charlie
was the biggest
Partridge's
character
guy,
mentor he's ever had.
Coach. FAU head coach, Charlie Partridge, one of his best friends, Dave Duren.
2010, Wisconsin fans still living in 2010, you know, when they beat Ohio
State.
One of the great wins in the history of college football 15, in 2010.
You know, 16 years.
We have a job to do. Mike Rizzo.
Yes, sir.
Colin, you got to keep it down for 1 second here, okay? Mike.
Well, hold on. Now, all of a sudden, we can't get a hold of me, and now all of a sudden, I'm getting shunned out. I've been here for 4 minutes.
Yes.
All right.
No, this is important.
Let's hear it.
Colin is bouncing around ACC kickoff, Orange Bowl, tremendous job.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
This is an awesome opportunity. You're bouncing around with this soccer tonight, 3 p.m. in 15 minutes. You're going to do the show at 6, I assume.
Yep.
You got a lot of good stuff going, okay? Both of you are flying right now. But there's a little bit more pressure on Colin, I'll tell you what. If you're Colin, I know Crystal Ball's on today, okay? You got to come home with a good relationship with Malachi Tony. I need that. A good relationship. I don't care if he's there. You still got to come home with a good relationship with him. Darian Mensah. Better be on.
He likes me. I'm going to be honest.
10 minutes. Norvell, you got to get Norvell on, and you simultaneously have to be respectful and kind while getting him to comment on his job security. You're going to have to do that. And by the way, Tom Herman, been a head coach, multiple stops. Not a great one, but have been a head coach, multiple stops. He's there now at FSU. So I need to hear about that. I mean, you know, Mike, would you agree? You called
me. I agree.
You said this – spot for Colin. You called me off the air. It'll be interesting.
I agree, but Colin and I talked about this yesterday. I personally think Herman's the placeholder. That's who's going to take over once they get the funds to fire Mike Norvell.
Well, was it Norvell's idea to hire him? That's the thing I need to find out.
Correct.
Did they tell you that Herman's coming, or did you say I want Herman to come?
The problem is he's never going
to. And Newt Rockne, he is not Tom Herman. Let's be fair.
Yeah, correct. Now, quickly, boys. I personally, in my opinion, I don't think. Norvell's making a lot of decisions on the football side. I think this is one of the weirder.
Well, that's a problem, don't you?
Correct.
Mike, he's the football coach.
But Ev, I think it's one of the weirder situations of college football where Florida State has just set themselves up in such an athletic nightmare where they have no money for anything. They can't even retain players. I'm being told by Florida State alums in this office, they can't even retain baseball players, for God's sakes.
Wow.
So
there's a quick fix, but they're not going to take it. And I don't know. He's got to do something without his kid and without Travis Hunter. The quick fix is Deion. You know he'll bring the money in.
Oh, my God.
He would walk to Tallahassee.
You talk about somebody who's not Newt Rockne. Look no further than what Deion's doing in Colorado.
Wait a second. This is the uniqueness of college football these days. Mike Rizzo just critiqued Florida State without saying anything about the X's and O's coaching, which is a fair thing. What Mike just said is, they don't have the funds. Deion is the ultimate fundraiser, is he not?
He is, but Ev, I don't think, and I love Prime, for the record, I don't think he's proved enough on the field to earn that job.
Definitely not.
So that's my pushback there, but the point I was trying to make, boys, full circle moment here, it's one of the weirder moments in college football at Florida State. It's like they're just waiting to fire the guy. And the guy knows that he's going to get fired. And that's why I got on Florida State faithful and Florida State fan. How is this acceptable? Like, I told you, I would, if for my school, I'd have picket signs. If we won 4 games and 5 games, I would have picket. I'd take a week of PTO, and you would see me on ESPN with a picket sign.
How many weeks do you have? I mean, I can't imagine you have many more left, the two of you, of PTO.
Hang on, Ev. What do you mean? I took one vacation.
Any amount of picket fence does not raise $60 million. Another thing.
But you get the point. Like, I just feel like Florida State fan has just become so defeated and accepted of what's going on. I look at them and I go, I never want to become you. I grew up with the Florida State of Bobby Bowden. You know, Ev, early 2000s, you were the pride of the ACC. You feared mighty Florida State. And then you had 2013 with Jameis Winston, one of the best college football players I've ever seen. We're a long way separated from that, and it's because this head coach...
Good question.
Go ahead.
No. Florida State is not what it once was, and this is the uniqueness of the three schools in the state that we talk about the most, okay? It seems like it has been the longest time where they all three were great simultaneously. There's always a program where we do this. What's wrong with Florida? What's wrong with Florida State? What's wrong with Miami? And it very much is a roller coaster ride of that. But let's be fair here. Okay. First of all, Norvell is not fired, which means he has a chance to get past that. Right. So he has he's got a chance to coach his way out of that. But let's just say, for argument's sake, he doesn't make it as FSU coach. That's the problem. What's the solution? Who are you guys hiring if you're FSU?
Ev, I'm at the point where anything is better than the current. You got to go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
You got to get out of the contract. That's step number one. If it's putting a caretaker in place for a year, then that's fine. Like, you got to get out of that contract and money. Hell, once you have your funds settled, go after it. Evan, I'm looking at the recruiting class, not even top 50. I mean, listen, they wouldn't make an immediate impact anyway, but you are Florida freaking State, and you're not top 50 in recruiting, and the transfer portal is an absolute joke. So, like, you're not winning anything this year. There's no way Norvell is coaching himself out of this. So if I am a realistic Florida State fan, get out of the contract and take it from there. Get me money, get me funds, and get me ask Texas Tech. Texas Tech was nobody until they got money and they got someone back in the program. Now they're in the conversation for the playoff. Can they win a game? We'll see. But you get the point. Get your funds straight, get out of that contract, and then we'll talk head coach.
I would say,
Colin, your answer?
Get the coach right. Get the coach right, and the funds will come. If you have the right coach, and he's not the right coach, you get the right coach, then people are going to start raising money. You're telling you want to give some random guy a Brinks truck to build this program, you're probably going to fail. You're probably going to crash and burn. I don't care if it's Dion. I don't care if it's Saban. You got to make sure you get the right guy in there who at least is a great football coach who can maximize the outfit on recruiting, on players. Find that, and I know Norvell was a Memphis guy and a Florida State. You got to find another one like him. You got to find somebody that was a better
solution. Give me a name. Neither of you have given me a name.
Well, I mean,
caretaker. I gave you a name. Caretaker.
Caretaker.
Interim head coach. Interim head coach. Wait till the end of the season.
That's not a name.
I don't have a name for you because there's no one available yet.
The guy, longest yard, caretaker, the character, the
Evan,
caretaker.
Ev, the point I'm trying to make is there's nobody available yet. You get what I'm saying?
USF wins 11 games, they call Heartline.
There you go. That's a name.
Well, I mean,
I wish you didn't do that name because Mike, you know, now is going to go on Ohio State rant
without any figure.
He would have a little bit of a Florida base. I mean, that's a playoff spot right there. He'd bring players that are capable of jumping into Florida State and they just got goalish to Auburn, so it's not like it's a crazy jump. And he's somebody that is a highly experienced recruiter. I don't think that's a bad idea.
I personally think. I think the problem is whenever the Ohio State, and listen, Brian's got to be successful, but whenever the Ohio State job comes calling when Day goes to the NFL, he's going to be the first to take it. But it's neither here nor there. The point is,
you can have Fickle if you like.
Listen, Evan.
Fickle?
Evan, can I go there for a second?
Ohio State.
Can I? No, thank you. Yeah. Okay, he could come
Fickle
be the
can be coach at UW Stevens Point.
He could listen, Luke Fickle, my guy, could come coach my defense whenever he wants. 2014 national championship winner.
So, Colin, what time's Belichick on?
We're working on it.
I don't even know if Belichick's going to be here. I'm going to be honest with you. I think he operates on his own wavelength. Him, Franklin, Dabo,
you
are
could,
the three. I'm
you
waiting
could
on.
Get to,
if I get
you
one
could
of the
get
three, if I get to if Marty. I get to one of the three. If I get to one of the three of Franklin, Dabo, or Belichick, I'm a happy camper.
The problem is, I give Colin credit. He's going to ask these people questions, and they're going to be upset about it. Like, Colin's a good interviewer. He's going to ask Dabo what the hell's going on. So, you know, I don't think Dabo's going to jump on.
Franklin's not a difficult interview.
No.
I'm excited for that one. If I get him, that'd be a fun
one. Franklin's got the whole new lease on life, so to speak. You know, he's going to be fucked up. Tony Elliott at Virginia is a good interview. Canty played for him. Canty knows him, and he's come on our show. Very nice guy. Fun. And Clemson ties the whole deal.
Tony Elliott's already come through here. I asked, and they put in an official request. I was given a denial. So,
you know what? I like them even more.
UVA.
Yeah.
UVA. Now, UVA. Come on. Evan, I'm not trying to get Marcus Freeman on. Can we calm down for a second?
Evan, I've never.
I'm glad you brought that up. In studio with us on Friday, Marcus Freeman and CJ Carr. And
what is he promoting? What book?
It's a good get.
Okay.
Can you,
All right. Tough guy. Yeah.
Ev, can you help us out with, can you give me Marcus?
Marcus Freeman
can
book
you give
out?
Me? Can you give me former Buckeye?
The third time he's been in studio. Ev, I don't even think he writes a book.
Ev, can you put in a good name for me with former Buckeye Marcus Freeman? Can you put a good name, put a good word in for me?
Mike, Kate, tell him.
Hang on. No, it's right here. It's right here. There you go. I got it. I handled it. By the way, I've never met somebody who hates their university more than Colin Russo, Evan. He hates Wisconsin like you wouldn't believe it. I asked him. I go, dude, Wisconsin, Notre Dame. I said I'm taking the Badgers plus 21.5.
Wisconsin is going to lose that game by 59 points.
Evan, it's 21.5. You're telling me Fickle can't cover 21.5?
Evan knows. You think Notre Dame's losing that game 2 years in a row? Notre Dame's going to destroy them.
He can't cover 21?
Mike, Colin, my son's bar mitzvah party the night of September 6th for a reason.
Oh,
I don't have to watch that dopey game. I have no idea.
Yeah, you booked it on a Sunday night?
Colin, no school the next day. Brilliant. Labor Day, school hasn't started. Starts on Tuesday in New York.
What is
kids,
that, the Louisville?
Everybody's back in town.
Louisville, USC. You're going to miss that game? I think it's that day. That's a terrible
job. Wisconsin, Ohio. Wisconsin,
I know. You can miss that game. You can miss that game.
That's what he's saying. He scheduled it so he doesn't have to watch. You guys are phonies.
I understand.
You guys, that's the biggest game on the schedule.
Guys,
am I a little eccentric with my team? Fine. But my God, none of you are even going to watch that game. Shame on you guys.
They're going to never wear phonies. They're never going to wear those jerseys again. They got new jerseys for the game.
And
they're never going to wear them again.
Those things are fire.
They're never going to wear them again after that game. They're going to lose by 59 points.
Colin's got a problem with the basketball coach, the new AD, the head football coach.
Also should be fired.
Kyle, who else do you have a problem with at that university?
I'm going to leave you with this because I haven't announced this publicly, but I will here because this is obviously the place to do it. He's going to have a problem with the Alumni Association. Why is that?
Because you're on it.
October 24th, or no, 23rd or 24th, I don't know. They're bringing someone back to speak to the university.
So who?
Is it you, Ev? Is it you?
Who are you talking
to? You are talking to him.
I love it.
Being flown in to Madison, a little LaGuardia to Madison after the show on the Wednesday of the USC week.
They got you LaGuardia to O'Hare and put you on the Badger bus. You'll be there 3 hours.
No, that's you. That's
can
you.
We,
no,
can we take
– I'm flying right into Dane County.
Can we take Russo and Rizzo remote to celebrate Evan Cohen going back home?
One of the great disgraces, we missed that Wisconsin-Ohio State game.
Dude, hang on. I asked. That's a you problem. And admit that. That was a you problem.
I screwed that up. That's okay.
We were live at love our good friends at Cardinal Newman, but we were at Cardinal Newman live. I look at Colin. I go, what the hell are we? Why the hell aren't we watching our teams do battle this weekend? And Kyle goes, I screwed up. I said, yeah, you did. I told you six months ago.
Let's focus on the important stuff. Colin, if you had to guess, Friday, when are you flying back? Friday night?
Friday afternoon.
If you had to guess right now, blindly, you don't know all the guests you're going to have. You know you're going to have Cristobal, obviously, today at, 4?
Novell in about 35 minutes.
Okay. If you had to guess ranking 1, 2, and 3, Russo and Rizzo leave ACC kickoff, best three interviews that you're gonna promote the hell out of on all the ESPN West Palm and South Florida socials, what are going to be the three?
I think Cristobal is going to be on that. Weirdly enough, I do. I mean, we'll talk to him momentarily. I think Norvell is going to be a little political in terms of just like, you know, covering his bases. So we'll see how that one goes. I have Fran Brown tomorrow morning. I think that's going to be one that's
interesting. He's very good. He's
very outspoken. Yeah.
Good
so
guy.
I think that would be a fun one. Got a lot to say, and it's got SEC ties. And then on top of that, you know who I think might be a good interview is Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans champion, Mr. Jeff Brom himself. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow, too. I think that'd be an interesting one, too.
Yeah, make sure you ask about Lincoln Kielholz, Kyle, all right?
Who we have on, by the way, right after.
Brom, by the way, with Brom, the Schnellenberger stories are going to be tremendous because he played for him.
Coached Howard.
It was an assistant at FAU. You know, for a minute.
He's got a lot of ties, and he loves down here.
You know what you should ask him? Because I don't know the answer to this. Did they ever kind of wink him the FAU job? Mm. Did Schnellenberger ever say to him, you know, if you don't get something first, I'm going to hand this off to you? I'm interested in that. I don't know.
I mean, that's how it works. That's really how it works, man.
He should have gotten called for the Florida job.
Yeah.
He should get called for the FSU job.
I interviewed him. Michigan. Was it Michigan? What job was he up? Yeah.
Those cheaters.
Michigan. Where the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans happened.
Yeah, when I interviewed him,
he was being quoted.
Those cheaters. Yeah.
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 So I had to kind of dance around during the post game because I did the sidelines interview about whether or not that was the last game. And he that was not something he wanted to answer. I can tell you that much in that spot.
So, watch out.
You know what?
FSU
I don't think he knew.
No.
I don't think he knew at that point.
Now, Ev, what's coming up on Unsportsmanlike?
What am I on
what's next?
Next,
Evan?
No, you know, what do we got to look forward to? You told me you had Marcus Freeman. It's what we do. Ev, it's what we do when we exit a guest. What's coming up on the show, brother?
You know what I'm into tomorrow?
What are you into?
Does anyone realize Brian Schottenheimer guaranteed a Super Bowl appearance this year for the Cowboys? You know, maybe pipe down a little bit. Did you see this?
I did.
He said February 14th is the Super Bowl. We plan on being there. Cool. Who are you buying tickets from?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Yeah. I mean, my God.
That was
odd, I thought, today. And then obviously we'll do the soccer tomorrow with Argentina.
Who do you got?
I hope Argentina.
Who do you got, guys? I mean,
why would I not want Argentina? I wanted France, Argentina, and I wanted Mbappe and Messi to be tied in this tournament and overall goals going into the final. That's not going to happen.
Ev knows what's good for the business. Colin wanted Ghana versus Morocco. So
it's going to be the last two games Messi ever plays, Mike. Enjoy it.
You can listen to all your Inter Miami games right here on ESPN 106.3.
Make sure you get tuned in. What is wrong with you, Colin? I don't get it.
Ev, this is what I deal with. I've been hearing it all World Cup on how the great one, you know, it's going to be.
You know what? I hope Norvell doesn't show. I hope Cristobal doesn't show. And I hope you get a backup special teamer for Louisville. That's what I hope for you.
Yeah. We got the Duke tight end tomorrow morning. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Ev, I'm going to end this. Thank you so much, partner, as always.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Colin, I'll catch up with you on the other side. We got the happy hour with Tina coming up next. Mike Rizzo filling in for Theo Dorsey. Appreciate Evan Cohen for all of the time. This is Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.